Hey, the Voicing Indigeneity, the first all girl, all woman.
Single all
Don't
woman.
say woman with a Y, Miss. You have a degree in, right?
Yeah, but it's outdated.
It's outdated.
In women's studies, yeah, it's very
You
outdated.
should have a t-shirt that says, I survived women's studies. So, hey, I'm Angie.
Hey, I'm Miley. I'm Adele.
Madel! It's been
Hello.
too long,
Yes,
girl.
it's been a
You've been
long
away.
time. It's been a long time.
So, today we were kind of talking before. See? Before, like, oh, okay, what are we going to talk about? And one thing we were thinking about talking about was home. Because, oh, don't point it towards, get away from my loud, I'm gonna back up a little bit. Because, well, today's officially, I guess, the last day of winter. I
Fall
mean, fall
quarter.
quarter, yeah, jumping ahead. So people are taking off, and so we're just thinking about home. And then, my son's going to visit his dad tomorrow. I'm staying here, but, I guess when you're it's the end of the quarter, you're always a little tired, a little run down.
Just a little.
Little sad.
So you're going to be here in San Diego?
Got to be finishing up my thesis. The Natalia Molina is on my committee, and she's calling me from Spain on Sunday. She emailed me some comments and said, but I'd like to speak to you. Of course, I'm terrified. So I'm going to be working on my thesis so I can answer her questions because I've been grading. I have dropped the ball. I'm thinking, oh, well, I have 3 weeks without Leroy. I'll work on it next week. But that's not how it goes. You have to do it every day. And so I want to jump back into it today so I can really sound smart. Which I'm talking to her. I'm a little nervous. She's a historian. Her ducks are always in a row. She's highly organized, and I'm sure she's gonna have great comments for me. So.
That's exciting.
Miley, you're going home too?
Yes, I'm going back to Hawaii next week on Tuesday. Should be good.
Yay! How long are you gonna be there?
About 2 weeks, so.
What are you gonna do?
Just gonna hang out with my mom.
Nothing. She's
Yeah.
like, I'm not gonna
Watch
read.
TV and go to the beach, play with my dog.
Oh, you have a dog? What
Yeah.
kind?
She's a mutt. She's from the Humane Society. She's like lab and husky. She's pretty big.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sounds
She's really
cute though.
fun to play with.
What's her name?
Abby.
Okay, I'm not into animals like that. Or well, when I was growing up, okay, so when I came to the US, that's one of the things that like sort of shocked me is the way that people treated their pets. And I mean, our pets, quote unquote, were like hanging out outside all the time. You throw the bone out the window and they scrap for it. So, but I've grown, like my kids love. They want a dog. I just don't know if I can handle another thing to take care
Yeah,
of.
I think for my mom, we got it when I was in high school, but then I went to college on the mainland, and so
Oh,
I
it's her
think it's like my mom's
companion.
Surrogate.
project. Yeah. Sometimes when I go home, she'll be like talking to the dog instead of to me. She'll be like, "Abby, has Miley walked you yet?" I'll be like,
Oh my gosh, how
"You can
cute.
talk to me."
That is so
That
sweet.
is sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be in San Diego for a little bit, but I'm going up north to Sacramento. I have a first cousin who's graduating from Sac State.
Cool.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I
Nothing's
know.
better
Her
than a
twin
graduation.
is graduating from
Okay.
tomorrow. You know what? I'm just gonna do a shout out to
Do
Steph and
it.
Tali Nakamura. Go
Yay.
girls, did a good job. They're twins. Their father was the first Supreme Court Chief Justice of Palau.
Ah,
And he
awesome.
passed away many years ago, but I think I was the first
grandchild to get a degree, and now they're the second and third, and we're hoping for more. So that's exciting.
So exciting. That's wonderful. I think the day I graduated was the best day of my life, really. I think it was my proudest, aside from having my boy.
Yeah.
It was just such a celebration. Never thought it would happen.
Yeah. So what else are we going to talk about?
Well, you didn't talk, you said you were going up to Sacramento.
Oh, and then I'm coming back. Have we not announced this? I guess we haven't, huh? So, I'm leaving San Diego. It's a permanent-ish kind of move. I'm going back home to Belao, and I'm going to do my research towards my dissertation and write there, and then come back and defend it and hopefully stay there. I haven't lived at home for many years, so it's kind of nerve-wracking to think of the move and think about adjusting to everything there. But I'm excited. My kids are excited. But I'm sad to leave the department. There's so many exciting things going on now. But it's time, so yeah. I'm just going to make that transition over the break, and then I'll be here the first part of next quarter, and then I'll take off probably the second week of January, so. I haven't really told my family, but I'm telling the rest of the world. So if my family hears this, oh well.
You haven't told your family here?
I haven't told anybody really. My brother knows. My mom's kind of knows. My rest of my family, they don't really know. Yeah. So surprise.
That's exciting.
I'm sure they'll be excited.
Oh, we miss you so much. You contribute so much.
Well, and then, like, everybody's here. Like, Miley's here now. And, like, we just finished this Indigenous Epistemologies course, which was one of the best classes I think I've ever taken in this department at this university. And then they're having a conference coming up in March, which is going to be off the hook. And hopefully I can come back to at least sit in and participate, but...
Really?
I'm trying. I really am trying. I'm trying to find funding to make it back,
That would blow my mind. That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, I just want to make sure to be part of the conversations. Oh, which reminds me, if you guys can remember to podcast it, maybe?
Of course.
That would be really great.
I think we'll do the panels and post them.
Yeah.
I think we've even talked about it, or at least I've thought of it, too.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Record the panels, put them up there.
Ross has been really good with that this quarter.
Yeah, he's like our expert.
Yeah, he's all Apple.
Did you know he used to work at Apple?
Yeah.
he did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you guys keep talking. I really have to take this course, and I'll be right back.
That's cool.
So you're just going to be here?
Yeah, I got it right. But, you know, my sister moved in with me a few weeks ago. So that is just so intense. You know, when I was at the University of Oregon, one of my mentors there had a lot of better job offers.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in Oregon because his wife's sister needed them.
Mm-hmm.
To be there. And, you know, it just, I asked my sister to come, and now that she's here, I realize, like, I'm not sure how much I could have kept it together that much longer, you know, just taking care of Leroy, getting him to school and everything, it takes up so much of my energy, and then, I just, so, in some ways, even though it took me so long to think through my thesis, I'm really just getting into the deeper intellectual work of it at the end, which is what people say happens anyway. You know, you kind of take you're stepping through the mud and then you're able to do some work. But
that's why you do a dissertation.
Yeah, exactly. So she'll be here. She's real homesick, though. She's never lived away from Portland.
Oh,
she's always been close to the family. Yeah, she's a baby.
Uh-huh.
And she She's homesick. She's homesick, and she is, you know, she's never been away from home at Christmas, and she's real close to all of the family and the nephews and the cousins, and so, you know, I hope it's okay for her. For me, I've been doing the going back home for Christmas thing for several years, and I don't mind so much. I don't like being away from Leroy at Christmas, but we spend a lot of time together, and I really feel it's important for him to see his dad. He had a real short visit with his dad last summer because he just needed to come home, so that's good. And this week we went to his school because what does this have to do with indigeneity? But we did family traditions, and we made Chex Mix. What's special about our Chex Mix is we used Cheerios. I'm so Indian in some way, you know?
It sure is. Is that with the peanut butter, chocolate, and powdered sugar?
No, those are good, though.
Oh, what is your Chex
Ours
Mix?
Ours is just Worcestershire sauce, butter, and spices, and then you bake
one.
It.
Yeah,
salty one. Oh, but nobody else uses Cheerios except for our family.
Some Indians.
Yeah, exactly. You get those through WIC, whatever. So anyway, it's good. I don't know. I just I've also been thinking about this other thing. Okay, so this is kind of funny. In fact, I might put these up on the blog because it's kind of hilarious. But so you know I'm going to go speak at Overland in March.
Yay, yeah.
What the heck am I going to tell these people? So they said they needed promotional pictures for the flyer. So I was like, what? So I looked through all my pictures, and every single one of them has Leroy crawling all over me, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or I'm not wearing a shirt. anyway. Oh my goodness. So I did a Google search and I found some pictures from when I was in undergrad. And one of them I took as a joke. We were taking pictures one day for the McNair, because, you know, I did McNair. I was pretending to be like a really intense intellectual, and I was making the crazy eyes. And my friend took a picture, and then they used it for a newspaper article because they did a feature on, you know, Indian single mom makes good. I'm always glad to help. So I sent them those, and I was like, if they're not good, I'll take one, you know, let me know. And they're like, no, they're great. But so I'm thinking, A, what am I going to say? And B, it was looking for those pictures was kind of hilarious.
Why are you going to Overland?
They have an Indigenous Women series.
Oh.
And Andy Smith's taught there before. My friend Chris at University of Michigan told me that Andy says the women there are so super smart. Yeah.
I went and looked at their lineup, and they've had awesome people go speak.
What
there.
Am I doing? I am a
third-year grad student.
You're going to be great.
Yeah.
Well,
and then next year, Miley's going to go.
Hey. That would be really cool. It'll be fun. We had a job talk this week with this woman. I guess I probably shouldn't say her name because we don't know where else she's going, but she was so good.
She was amazing. I was so impressed.
Is that the one that happened on Monday?
Wednesday.
She was phenomenal.
Was that for the
African diaspora? Yeah. But she just answered questions. She was so, I want to be just like her. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. That's what I was thinking. Wow.
That's how to do it.
Just natural. Very
yes. Yeah. And every time she answered a question, she added, you know, like, she wasn't,
right.
You know, people, we ask really hard questions here at
UCSB. Yeah.
And sometimes the job talks or even colloquiums can be unpleasant to watch.
Like, you really feel bad for those people.
Yeah. It makes me scared to go on the job.
Right,
I think it's harder here probably, though, than some places.
Yeah. I think, well, because we all have ethnic studies questions, and most of our candidates are not from ethnic studies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's really hard to relate sometimes, and I can see how people would get scared because they're like, what framework is that? Like, but yeah.
She did such a good job of addressing like obvious concerns that we generally bring up, that we just talked about her work
right.
a lot. People were asking questions about her actual subject, which often doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, mom's watching his phone. Thanks. Yes, that was Hanson's Mbop, because I think that's kind of a perfect song. Pop song. Anyway, so I might post some of those pictures and, you know, geez Louise.
You know what I'm interested in finding out is how Miley's first quarter went.
I am too.
Because, boy, can we tell... I can tell you about
Miley. Sorry, Chris. Wished I was dead,
but it
okay.
seems like you did fine. I mean, like, it was good for you.
Failed through.
I mean, I hope so. I survived.
Yeah?
It was hard.
What was the hardest thing for you?
Just adjusting to, like, this lifestyle, like, even more than, like, the actual... I mean, the actual work was really hard also, but... yeah, I think at the very first when I got here, I had to move down in July because I got the campus housing and they're like, oh, your lease starts in July.
Yeah.
And so the first few months I was here, you know, I didn't really have anything to do. And it was a big adjustment just to get used to San Diego, I think. And,
yeah.
I miss the Bay Area a lot because that's where I was living before. But I don't know, after I started... classes started and meeting people, it got a lot better. And I guess the first few weeks I was having panic attacks because, like, you know, I was like, how am I supposed to read all this stuff for Ross? I don't know.
And you had
two classes with Ross.
Oh,
and then, you know, Denise's class the first few weeks was like Locke, Hobbes, Hegel.
Oh my god,
but
yeah, nobody should ever, he should not teach two classes at the same time.
Yeah, it's rough.
You know, that's, it is. I mean, we had, the first week, I went back because I was trying to write this paper for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, in the first week, we had 20 articles.
Who
does that? I'm like, who gives 20 articles to read?
Right.
But it's tough love, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so hard because I think that it would serve him better, though, and us, if he did cut them down, because you do feel overwhelmed and sort of defeated before you start.
Right, so you're like, I just can't do it
at
all.
He chooses really, really great stuff to read.
Yeah.
And so then things don't get talked about that it would be awesome to talk about.
Right, so even if you read a really great thing, it's hard to talk to the rest of the class if they haven't read it either. So...
I know, so I spent, like, all of yesterday going in and saving all the articles to my laptop. Because I didn't get through.
I feel like it is a really good overview of, like, what's in the field. And so it was exciting to, like, be like, oh, there's this really great stuff out there. But I don't have time to read it right now.
And, man, I just have to say, if I were Miley in my first year, I would have been happier. Just because... you are really good at bringing things together. Your questions are really good.
Thanks.
And I'm like, no kidding. In your first quarter, not that anybody in their first quarter couldn't do it, but I don't think
I'm raising my hand, people.
I was just thinking about myself in the first quarter. I was just trying to figure out how to get through day by day.
I couldn't find my butt with both hands. And I'm out.
And then, but then Miley would come and she would like have these awesome questions and she would be able to articulate in a way.
Nice.
No, but it was true. No. And I'm just sitting there with my mouth open. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't read today. She just did it. I don't even care what they said in the readings because she just asked the questions that I want to address.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of that class is, like, me thinking through stuff in Hawaii and, like, Hawaiian sovereignty movement. So it was even, I think that's where
and that's
why I had more questions.
Which was helpful because it was finally some, I mean, Miguel and Angie and I have been talking about these things for, 2-3 years now?
Yeah.
And it was so helpful to have somebody fresh come in and, like...
Just really engaged.
Yeah, engaged in it.
creative,
so,
super smart.
Yeah, man, I'm like, woohoo.
Yeah. I remember in one of the first classes, Miguel called me out for, because I keep talking about the same thing. Because you do, you know, you run into, well, what you're interested in goes along a certain path, and so the same things come up over and over. You know,
I'm sure I'll say the same things,
you know,
next
but,
year.
So it's great to have,
I think so.
Have your input.
Yeah.
It's really valuable.
But I mean, it's really great that you guys have like sort of established this for like everyone else. Like, it's really nice to have in my first quarter an Indigenous class. You know.
No, I know, and I hope they do it again. I mean, for everybody. Because I think it's an important class just in general.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that we brought up in our class are important across the board, I think, you know.
Not just for the
Indigenous
students.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've really tackled some very controversial, often very sensitive topics, right? Like, and, you know, Miguel used to give me a hard time because I would, like, try to reach or branch out my thinking in terms of indigeneity, and then I'm like, but Miguel, why couldn't like people from Pakistan or, you know, why aren't they indigenous? Because I think I was trying to answer questions about myself, like what makes me indigenous compared to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were really able to do that in this course, this quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that we answered the questions, but at least we were able to talk about it in a way that began the thought process.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful.
I'd like to extend the, or even reframe the, not necessarily reframe the class, but at least part of it, like to, I mean, part of the thing, what we're looking at in the class is about ethnic studies and Indigenous studies, I mean, just like, what was that main question we asked? There was one.
In the beginning?
And also the at the end when we said, well, we didn't answer this and it's not going to be answered now. But I think focusing on the nation, or maybe just spending longer on the Mbembe reading and some of the other things, because I don't know. Because I just think that that's partly where ethnic studies needs to engage with Indigenous studies, like, seriously. You know, I mean, we've gone global, but we've never even, like, reckoned with the nation and the legitimacy of it. So it's like, that drives me a little crazy.
Yeah, that was interesting that week we were talking about, just, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about what sovereignty is and, like, all the different forms of it, like, what has the most potential or not, and that time that Ross was saying that, you know, most Indigenous groups don't right now argue for a nation state model, but I mean, I think it's some still do, and like just trying to think, I mean, Stalao is now
right.
A nation. I don't think you were there that week, but I was like, oh, where's Madame that you could talk about?
But I remember, I think maybe the week after too, there was, I don't even remember what week it was, but we were talking about different kinds of sovereignty, right? And different claims to sovereignty. So, and then how we don't necessarily communicate between sovereignty groups so that we understand the kinds of sovereignty claims maybe that people in Belau are seeking, how those affect sovereignty claims for Aboriginals in Australia, for Native Americans in the U.S.
That's very, very good point.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that is what my prospectus is trying to do, which is a huge project that can't be done in 500 pages, right? So and that's what my committee was, their problem with my prospectus is that it's too big. But I'm really trying to stick it out and make that project work somehow, but
yeah,
I think
this
it's
is
important.
So important.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what one of the main things I got out of the class is, like, you know, there's a lot of comparative work that can help, like, different sovereignty movements. Like, how to like, I learned so much about just Australia in that class.
I know.
Like, I hadn't known anything about Australia before.
I know, and I really feel like I need to learn more about that particular topic now. I don't think that I have a deep-seated understanding of Native American sovereignty claims, because there's so many different kinds of projects, but yet I'm like, there's this calling, you know, around Australian sovereignty movements that seems to be like necessary in order to understand maybe Native American and Pacific Islander and
that's all the rest. Denise is going to be on my dissertation committee. Ross is chairing, and I know, and she wants me to do some comparative work with Australia.
Of course. We read some stuff for her too about that Mabo case.
That I think that'll be helpful and interesting.
Oh, I think it's gonna be great. I'm thrilled that she's pushing me towards that, because it's I'm interested, you know, and it's like what you were saying. It's really useful to see how these things affect each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that one day. I don't know if you guys remember. We were talking about Ross posed a very simple yet complex. You know, he poses simple, very
as
complex
Ross
questions.
Does.
And his question was basically, what is it called, Terra Nullius?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what or how did Terra Nullius sort of develop, right? Mm-hmm. And we couldn't sort of pinpoint exactly what he was trying to ask from us. So then he finally asked, when did the settlers get to Australia? And it was actually by the time, is it the British in Australia? But by the time the British settlers got to Australia, the U.S. was already nation building,
independence,
right? So then they got clever in terms of how they would frame their settlement and colonial practices in Australia. And I'm like, man, that is such an important and key point, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they learned from what
their
happened
other
in
colonies that they lost.
Right. And so how many other situations are probably very similar to that, right? Because, you know, of course you learn from, or you get savvy, you learn how to maneuver, and then you work through these different loopholes. So it's very important to think about these things. At first I'm like, I'm not going to deal with Australia. Come on.
Yeah.
It's too hard to deal with the Pacific by itself.
Right.
But now I feel like it can't be done without taking a look at other places.
They do make a good claim for the comparative relational ethnic studies framework. Yes.
What was the other thing we did here? Oh, no, comparative and relational,
yeah.
Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't do the food groups.
Oh, okay. So those are the two things.
Supposedly,
comparative.
Yeah. Even though we get pegged as indigenous.
All right? Isn't that interesting?
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look who was in our indigenous
class.
Yeah. A lot of people took it, and
I feel like I gained a lot, especially from Ma and her relating to the Hmong people, like stateless, and how that overlaps with indigenous stuff a lot too.
I remember when, where were we?
We've been trying to get Ma to.
What class was that? What class were we in before this one with Ma? Was it history memory?
Oh, shit. Yes, it was.
Because I felt like when she started talking about her project there, I'm like, there is some sort
mm-hmm.
of relationship. I'm like, Ma, there's some sort of relationship.
You're indigenous.
There. Yeah. And I'm like, what is the difference? So then we, because we kind of do similar work around commemorations,
mm-hmm.
we started talking. All of a sudden, I'm like, there's something that's connecting or linking our projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad she was able to take the course, too. She's another awesome and very insightful scholar.
I
think everybody in that class, that room was, they brought all kinds of things to the discussion, which if they weren't there, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So... But
We're all very interesting characters too, I thought. Yes.
It's so funny. Like Trinidad is so funny. She is so hilarious. But quiet, right? Like she just has this quiet humor about her.
Yeah. Seth too.
Seth. Yeah.
I think he should be a stand up.
Seth is funny.
Yeah, he is. Wait, there's someone else in your cohort that I don't know that I've met.
Stevie and Susan?
No, I've met Stevie.
Susan Chen.
I think I've met her and talked to her a couple times, but yeah, I don't know that I've seen her well.
Yeah, she's really nice. I think she spends a lot of time in LA because her family is up there.
Oh, okay. What are you doing?
I'm taking a couple pictures for the website. So, I don't know what time it is. Oh my gosh, it's only been a half an hour. We can go longer.
Sure.
I mean, there's no... I was kind of curious about... we haven't talked about the song. Are we going to sing today?
Oh, boy. Miget has always been... you and Miget have always...
I'm totally willing to pass that off on
Miley?
Miget. Yeah, so maybe we could have this be just... or, you know, we could sing a little... You know, holiday song.
And have we mentioned why Miguet's not here?
No.
So Miguet is in Guam. He left a couple weeks ago now, I think.
I think just a week
or
ago.
Or a week ago.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday.
And I read in an email he's not well because his daughter got him sick. And I've been under a cold flu too for my kids.
Oh, no.
So it's kind of going around these kids.
With their germs.
No. They're viruses.
But you know, he's getting his sumahi love, so...
Oh, I know. So, Miguel's in Guam, and he'll be back when? The beginning of the quarter-ish.
I assume so, yeah.
And so, but that's why Miguel's not here. And then, we haven't podcasted all three of us in a long time. All four, actually, at all.
The four of us have never done it. That's right.
So when Miguel comes back and he's interested, maybe we can all pod together. That would be really
before
cool before I leave.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd love that. And maybe after my defense.
Oh, yay! Yeah. Which is scheduled for when?
It hasn't been scheduled. Ross is hasn't scheduled it. But I'm thinking it's going to be in January. I hope. I mean...
Yeah, hopefully before I leave.
I know. I don't know if, I don't know. We'll see how much work I get done. We'll see what the professors say.
I'll have to shoot him an email.
I really want to do it, but I want to be ready and I want to have the work be strong. And
right.
So, but I'm pretty happy with, the comments I'm getting. You know, it all is stuff I can do and that is important. So it's not like, wow, did you mess this up? That's good.
What are the fences like? So they're open to everybody to come?
Not usually. Our cohort did a interesting thing. Well, prior to our cohort, Miguel went to Medell's.
Okay.
So the general rule
is
apparently
it's closed
is it's closed,
door.
Right?
Okay.
But for some, Miguel and I have worked so closely together that our chair, we have the same chair, said that he could sit in on mine, I could sit on his, which worked out. He was like a godsend during my defense. I had a little moment where I thought I wasn't going to get through it, and he stepped in and was able to help me out.
That's good.
And then, Their cohort, they all attended each other's.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
We just
so I'm sure if you
yes.
guys work your magic.
Well, I think they said yes because we were big on bringing food.
Oh,
and so when we leave, that's when they, you know, so you defend and then they ask questions and we just keep quiet. And then we leave and then they eat all the food and then we come back.
And you find out the verdict, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It seems there's usually, you know, three, occasionally four, and then usually somebody's the bad guy.
You mean
okay.
on the committee?
The bad cop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
They rough them up
you
a little
up.
Bit. Yeah.
Who do you think Seth's going to be on yours?
Who's on
on your committee again?
It's just Ross is the head, and then Natalia's just sending her questions from Spain. So I could easily see it being Natalia. She loves to give me a hard time.
And she won't be there.
Paul.
Oh. I had to toss up between
Paul and Natalia. Except for, you know, Paul is just sweetie. Yeah, so I don't know. I think he'll ask me some hard questions like he, you know, did at the job talk the other day. But, you know, who knows? Because when my cohort was defending, most of them were kind of love fests. I don't think that I fall into that category but it was kind of, it was not what I'd heard about. And then the prospectus, though, everyone, that defense, the qualifying defenses, everyone says that's extremely painful. Yeah.
Okay, did I ever share with you guys what happened in my
qual?
No, you
never did. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so I froze for 20 minutes.
What do you mean?
Okay, maybe it was 10. But it felt like complete silence in the room. They posed their first question, and I sat there and my brain went blank. Literally.
For 10 minutes?
For 10 minutes. Nobody talked.
They just looked
waited?
At you?
Everybody waited.
No one
they
asked
were
if you were okay.
They were writing. People were writing. They were just, you know, they were trying not to eye contact. I mean, I think they were trying to give me space to gather my thoughts. But it was so
That's
tense.
More pressure.
And then I was just like, finally I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh,
I don't,
said that?
Yes, I said, I don't think I can do this. I'm not ready. And then Yen goes, let me rephrase the question.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and Ross was the one who posed the first question.
Yen's like, you are ready.
Yeah.
You're going to do
so
it right
she
now.
She was like, let me rephrase the question. So she rephrased. And this is not, I mean, it was a very basic question. I had written all my questions on, okay, so what was it about? It was about, I can't even remember the question.
When they ask you, though, you write it down.
No, I didn't. Okay. I couldn't, I was numb, completely. Like, I didn't know what I was feeling at the time. But the question, I heard it, and it was still, like, it kept repeating in the room. And I'm like, that is such an easy question. Why can't I answer it? You know, I felt like I was talking to myself. And it was I had written on it in my answers. It's all in my prospectus. I knew the answer. I just couldn't articulate it. So Yen rephrased it, then Ross rephrased it, then Yen rephrased it again. And then finally I was like, so do you mean? And I asked the question again. And so this went on for about 20 minutes, and finally I was like,
look in my answers.
Are in my prospectus, it's there. I know the answer. I just can't tell you what it is right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, you poor baby. Were you dying?
I was dying. I'm like, I might as well just say whatever now because I've just bombed this whole thing.
Oh.
So after that, I talked.
It could only get
just,
better.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing worse than what just took place, so.
So it was Ross, Yen, and?
Tak, Funuk. Fujitani,
like
Lisa
nice
Yoneyama,
oh.
Yes.
And Keith Camacho,
oh.
And Adria Imada.
That's
a lot
of people.
Yeah.
Adria, I thought Adria was going to get up and leave because she,
no.
I thought she was like, okay, what did I just get myself into? Why am I on her committee? She's crazy.
Oh.
But yeah, it was really awkward. But I got through it and they were very kind. Very kind, because I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna pass this. And then I went back in and they were like, congratulations. And they said, are you sure? The first 10 minutes I really screwed it up.
You wouldn't know this, but Madel is you might from listening, but Madel's work is, she's a great scholar.
It's
everything's
okay.
Well thought out, well researched. She's not a bit lazy. She's creative and super smart. So her work is always good. She wakes up at 3 a.m. to write.
What?
Yeah, I have a funky schedule, but I don't work when my kids are home or, you know, awake.
I tried to do that for a while, and it was I had to, because I had to make some progress. So I'd go to bed with Leroy at 8 or 8:30, and then I'd wake up about 1 and write until about 4, and then go back to sleep till 7. Wow. There's no way to live.
That's really hard.
So, anyway, she's a bomb.
But look, if I can get through that, anybody can get through it. And then I was so surprised. I was so proud of myself because I didn't think I could write 2 10-page papers in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Right, around questions that Yen came up with.
Oh.
Yen's questions are very, well,
complicated.
And very complex, yeah. But I did it, and I'm like, and it made sense to me after I read it again, you know, recently. I'm like, wow. So it can be done, I think, if we're forced to, right? Like,
yeah.
We just don't know it, or we don't try to do it.
Yeah.
We refuse. So yeah, it can be done.
Jose Fuste just qualified on Monday. He's done a podcast with us.
Woo-hoo,
during the
Jose.
Conference last year. Yeah, and today we are going to a defense. I think
for
all three of
Jesse
us.
Jesse Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
He's working down at San Diego State University.
Is it? Or
in
USD?
Ethnic studies?
I think USD, actually.
USD?
I just met him at Yen's party.
Oh, yeah, USD, I think. And he does work on Somalian refugees in the San Diego area.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, too.
So what do you think, you guys? Should we wrap it up?
Sure.
Sure thing.
Okay, so is this going to be the first one without a song? Without a song in my
what
heart?
What song?
No, what about Mary J. Blige, Real Thing?
I know the chorus, not even the whole chorus.
Okay. How does it go?
No. I was just thinking of her in those knee pads in the video.
Oh.
Gosh, I don't know. What are the kids listening to, Marley?
Are you calling me a kid?
Well, are you like 25?
24.
Hey,
okay,
I'm 18
years older than you, Miley, so, and you know, I'm
your
elder.
You're 18 years old? Shut
yeah.
up.
Yes.
I'm not going to
cool
disclose how many
aunt.
Older.
Yeah.
I'm close to her age.
Yes, she is. But what are the kids listening to, Miley?
I don't know.
My kids are listening
there
to...
There you go. We could sing Beautiful Soul by Jesse McCartney.
No. I heard this song... It's called Something Apologize.
Mm.
It's probably
doesn't
mainstream.
Doesn't sound like we're going to be able to get to that one since we don't know the title.
I think that's
I listen to the
Stevie's
radio. My
song.
Sister
it's
listens
what a
to the hip hop station.
Stevie's favorite song. I don't know how to sing it. Though.
It's on my kid's MySpace. Yes, they do have a MySpace.
Well, your MySpace page is beautiful.
It's too late to apologize. Something like that.
Who sings it? Sounds cool.
One Republic. I remember that. It's One Republic. Produced by Timbaland.
Timbaland.
It's a cool song, but I don't know the whole thing. I just have been hearing it.
Well, then I just think maybe we should recommend that people go out and listen to it. And, you know, don't apologize. It's too late.
Ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're... We're saying goodbye.
Happy
Bye.
Holidays,
yeah.
everybody.
Take a
Have
break.
Have fun. Be safe.
Yeah.
Be merry.
Congratulations to
Relax.
All the academics getting through another term.
Don't do any
pushing.
Reading. Over
yeah.
Break.
And if you're going to submit an abstract to our conference, you know, get that sucker written up and send it out because it's in March. March.
Please spread the word about the conference.
The deadline for submissions is January 7th.
Okay.
January 7th is the deadline. Check out the blog. It has all the info, the CFP
yeah.
and everything.
Post-colonial, mm-hmm. not yet post-colonial
yeah.
teachers.
The title's a little funky, but you'll forget it.
It's still going to be a cool conference.
It will
We're
be
not going to hold
conference.
Against it. All right, goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, my people. I just
did
don't
I
know how to.
That thing was at 1 o'clock.
How come you. Well, I don't know how to stop and save. Oh.